psalm in all of the Bible, because every one of us, you know, there's not a one of us that we've not read the psalm, we've not heard it read, we've not gone to it in times of need in our life. And probably if there is a single psalm that has impacted not just Christianity, but the world more than any other psalm, it is this psalm. But have you ever raised the question in your spirit, why has this psalm meant so much to so many? Now, one of the sad realities is that with a familiar psalm, it is so easy to overlook it. And so for that reason, tonight and for the next few weeks, we're going to glean some truths that are timeless truths that are applicable to your life and to my life in the here and now. So I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalms 23, and we're going to read it. But I want to paint a little background as to what is going on. Most of the time when we read the Psalms, we don't think about what is happening in the background or what is potentially going on. And so we're going to look at that tonight, and then we're going to glean some piercing and powerful and penetrating truths that are applicable to every one of our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to read it out of the Living Bible because I want you to listen how it sounds, and this would be a way that we would probably say this psalm today. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of mine enemies. You've welcomed me as your guest, blessings overflowing. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. Now, there are so many things that we can glean out of this passage, but I want to take just a little bit of time and paint just a little bit of background, and I want to share with us a few truths tonight out of just the first verse alone. Now, there are two particular thoughts whenever it comes to the background of this particular psalm. One of the more prominent thoughts is simply this. You remember the children of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity. They'd been taken out of their homeland, and they'd been taken to Babylon, and probably in truth, many of them never thought they would ever see the day or there would ever be the day again when they would go back to their homeland. But come to find out, through the passing of time, through the passing of years, God made it his business to take Israel, even though he allowed them to go into Babylonian exile and captivity. There was a day when God said, that's enough. I'm going to bring my children back home. I'm going to move even in the enemy camp, and I'm going to bring them out of captivity, just like I brought them out of Egyptian captivity, and they're going to go back to their homeland. That is one of the thoughts. Another thought is this, that David is also writing, and it can refer to either situation, but some think it could also be that David is running from King Saul. You remember King Saul, Saul had favor with God at the very beginning of his kingdom, at the beginning of his kingship, but King Saul disobeyed God and became rebellious. And God took his hand off of King Saul and put it on David, and God brought David up to be the king. And if you remember, there was many occasions in which Saul wanted to try to do away with David. David would run for his life, and he would find himself one place, and Saul and his armies tried to do David in. Well, that's another situation, but here's the reality of the psalm. The psalm is really a psalm of thanksgiving. The people of Israel and David, they had looked back and they had seen the hand of God in and upon their life. They knew that there was no way they could come out of exile without God doing it. David also knew there was no way that he could be delivered from Saul without God doing it. And so, if it's the situation of the children being in bondage, Israel had sinned and, God had proved for them a shepherd. In real sense, he had shown to them that he was their pastor. He was not going to leave them alone. He was not going to forsake them. And so with all that had happened and all that God had done to bring the people out of oppression, God revealed himself. Now, let me say this at the very outset. One of the natures and characteristics of God is that he reveals himself. God never makes it his business to be silent and not reveal himself. The Bible says the whole world declares the glory of God. The whole earth shows, the firmament shows his handiwork. The Bible says even the stars and all that we see, they shout the glory of God. And one of the things that you're going to find in this psalm is this characteristic of God. God is about making himself known to his people, and when there is a need for deliverance, to deliver them right in the proper time. Now, there's an old saying, God is, seldom early. And there's also been coupled with that, God is never late, but he is seldom early. And so one of the realities as you and I study this, there's something also you need to glean from this, and it's simply these principles. God makes it his business oftentimes to use the hardest situations in life to reveal himself and to show us what he is up to. Now, you remember all throughout Scripture, God revealed himself in the Old Testament. God revealed himself in the New Testament. When the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, they didn't think they was going to get out of the land of Egypt. But in the proper time and in the proper way, God brought a people of 2 million people out. I say that to say this. You need to understand, and I need to understand, that God uses those hard times in your life and my life to reveal himself afresh and to let you know he's concerned. If God didn't hear and answer prayer, and I've heard some people come to me and say, I don't understand, what's God doing? You may not know what God is doing, but he is never not up to something. And so, second of all, regardless of what we may go through in life, you are never abandoned by God. In the very first verse, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, the children of Israel, think about this. They had been in Babylonian captivity. Compare it to this. Imagine you and me being taken to Russia and being left, and back when it was in the Soviet Union, and because how polarized America and Russia was years ago. Well, that's not the case anymore, but really Israel didn't think there was a way they was going to get out. It's amazing how small our God is in our mind, isn't it? It's amazing how little bitty he is. But you see, the reality of it is most of us, and probably all of us, don't have the actual picture of God because we can't. Our minds cannot contain him. We can't contain the genuine picture of God because he's so much bigger than our little minds. So, regardless of what we go through, you can't be abandoned by God. And you see, here's the thing about it. Even if you don't think God is caring for you, he's caring for you. Even if you don't think he's going to come to your rescue, he's going to come to your rescue. And I want to show you that in these passages of Scripture. And third, God is powerful enough to bring us through the most oppressive times in life. This is an entire nation of folks that God is delivering. Get the picture. This ain't one person going against another person. The situation is that the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity. A whole nation was in captivity to another nation. Is that any problem with God? Not one iota. And it's a praise song after there's been deliverance, after, and according to some of the best scholars, it's a praise. And if it is in David's situation, it's a praise of God's protection. It's a praise that God comes through. Now, with that in mind, put this in your mind right now. God cannot change one iota for all of eternity. Amen? So if that means God delivered them, do you have the same God for you and for me in our day and time? Yes, we do. He is by nature a delivering God. He is by nature a providing God. He is by his eternal disposition a God who is riveted to the attention of his children. And that is something that the children of Israel had found out. That is something that David in his walk found out. And you go all the way through the Old and New Testament, and the prophets of God, the apostles, the disciples, and all throughout their life. That's why sometimes you get around an older Christian that's been in the faith for a long time. The world's in a mess and life's all chaotic and they're not a bit ruffled. And you think, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you bothered? Because they know some things. They know some things that it takes some of us a long time to understand. Well, with all of these things in mind, with the understanding that this is a praise hymn by the children of Israel, after they have come out of captivity, they have looked and realized that God has brought them out. Let's look at just verse 1, because that's really probably all we'll have time for tonight. In verse 1, it just simply says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I want to look at the very first verse, because just simply saying the Lord is our shepherd. Now, while we are removed from the culture and the role of shepherds and shepherding in our day and time, in the day and time that this was penned, in the day and time in which it was written, in the Hebrew culture, they knew exactly what shepherds were. They knew exactly what shepherding was all about, and they knew exactly what sheep were. And, you know, even in the days of King David, and even now in that culture, in that area, in that part of the country, they know all about it. As a matter of fact, you can still find shepherds out on the countryside of Jerusalem. You can still find them, you know, keeping watch, taking care of their sheep, and their sheep are their livelihood. Their sheep are their purpose. And by the way, have you ever stopped to think, I am part of the purpose of God? Of course, God has always been, he'll always be. But there is a delightful purpose in the heart of God to oversee your life. There's a delightful part of the heart of God that he loves to be your shepherd. Now, first of all, the psalmist makes clear that God, the sovereign of the universe, the God who has always been, is, and forever will be, but get the picture. He has chosen, he has taken the initiative. He has wanted to do it. He said, I am going to make it my business to be your shepherd. I'm going to make it my business to shepherd you. And in the culture of David's time, here is what a shepherd was. A shepherd was this. Now, he was a human being, but this was what a shepherd was. He was a protector. He was a provider. He was a defender. He was a rescuer. He was a nourisher. And as a matter of fact, he was a disciplinarian. There's a story told in the culture of shepherding that if you had an unruly sheep, now this is going to sound horrible, so I hope it don't make you queasy. But in the culture of shepherding, it was not uncommon if a shepherd had an unruly sheep that to get its attention, he would break its leg. Now, that sounds awfully mean, but listen to what has to happen next. That shepherd knows that that sheep can't go any place without him now. That sheep can't walk any place. So what he does, he makes it his business to take care of the sheep. He goes and gets food for the sheep. and he brings water to the sheep. In other words, he still nourishes while that sheep is learning the lesson, I am your shepherd, I am here to care for you. And as that sheep is laying there and being cared for by that shepherd, and the little old lamb is mending, all of a sudden that little sheep comes to this understanding. That shepherd really cares for me. That shepherd really has some good things for me. And so after the legs are healed, this is actually what happens. That sheep has been so used to that shepherd that it just stays very close to that shepherd the rest of its life. Haven't you found that to be in your life? You know, maybe life has gone easy for a period of time, and then all chaos has come in, and you got real close to the Lord, and you found out how good the Lord really is. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. You know, don't say taste and see that the Lord is vinegar or the Lord is salt. And sadly, in so many people's concept, God is about rules and regulations and do this and don't do that and throw this out and quit this. And, you know, if you're doing something, you know, that's not who God is all about. God is about showing you, proving to you, and letting you see he's a shepherd. And the very first reality of God is that he takes the initiative. Do you hear those words? Please hear those. God takes the initiative for your life and for mine. What that means is this. I'm not to take the initiative. I'm to do what he tells me to do. But let's just say whatever he provides in my life. Okay? Let's just say a spouse. Now, most every one of us are married or been married or want to be married. But did you know where your spouse was before you married him? Heather, did you know where your spouse was before you married him? Did you know where to go get him? Did you know what his address was? Didn't know where in the world he was, did you? But God took the initiative. Now, I have a young lady coming of age. She's needing a man. She's wanting a man. I'm going to provide for her, man. Now, you're going to say, now, that sounds fun. What is provision? Isn't provision in every aspect of our life? Provision is exactly that. And that's why the Lord says, I am a shepherd, because a shepherd was everything to the sheep. Sheep could not defend themselves. Sheep could not rescue themselves. They couldn't. It's not that they didn't want to. They absolutely could not. They have no defense mechanism. There is none inside of them. And so, you know, the very first reality, God takes the initiative. He takes the initiative to guide your life. All you have to do is report to the Lord each day. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do in my life today, but I'm going to trust you. You guide me. And he'll guide you. Now, you think you've thought up some things, but you'll be amazed what he does. He puts things in your mind so you can interact with this person, come across this person. And I look back over my life and I realize, God, you put into my mind to do this so I would meet this person, so I would come to this place and to this point in time. You see, I thought I put it in my mind to come to Cumberland College. I didn't put it in my mind. The more I go back, I look at it, and there was a still small voice that spoke to me. And here's what the psalmist is saying. When you get in your mind, the absolute reality that God takes the initiative to be your shepherd, there is a wonderful sense of relaxation. You know, what about a job? Now, that doesn't mean you be lazy, but God knows what you're best suited for. What about a position? He knows where you need to be. Case in point, years ago, I had no idea of Faith Baptist Church. I was in Williamsburg, didn't know anything about this fellowship. And God brought our paths together in some unique situations. Why? Because here's what I want you to see. God takes the initiative in your life, whatever your need may be. Now, sometimes somebody say, well, that just seems like an easy way out. Well, here's what you've got to do. You've got to listen to him. You've got to follow him. You've got to allow him to lead. And you see, the point is this. God is never passive. He's never impersonal. You know, I wish I could tell you, some people have come to me and said, I just wish God cared for me. Remember this. Whoever God is, he's always been that way. Amen? So if God doesn't care for you, he's never cared for you, and he can never care for you, and he never will care for you, because God is unchanging. But that's not who he is. God is by his nature. And you see, the thing about it is, I look at some people and I talk to some people and ask them about decisions they've made in life. And they say, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Knew I shouldn't have married that person. Sure, I knew I shouldn't have taken that job. And the point is, whoever God is, he's always been that way, and he'll always be that way because he is changeless. So what that means is God is going to always take the initiative and guiding your life. That's what a shepherd does. The shepherd, you've seen pictures of it, and I have too. And you know the shepherd, and there's one that I can remember in my mind's eye, a little boy. He's kneeling down, and there's a little sheep that's caught between the limbs, and he's reaching down. Why? He's taking the initiative to rescue. And you see, the thing about it is, even when we may be least conscious of his guiding, he's guiding us. I have really thought through a recent situation in my life. And it's almost comical. It's a common, ordinary, everyday thing. It's something we all do from time to time. It's the purchasing of a vehicle. But you see, sometimes if you'll think about it, you'll remember and you'll see how God did something. And I wasn't thinking about a vehicle, wasn't thinking about buying one. But all of a sudden, I thought one day, I told Charlotte, I said, let's go up to this certain place and look at this vehicle. And I just went to look, and it was just on my mind to go up there. Went and looked at that, and I told you. And then my eyes were caught to another vehicle that Charlotte mentioned. I wasn't even going to look at it, get in it, test drive it, or do anything. I was getting ready to leave the parking lot. And she said, what about this one? And the more I thought about it, the more I have come to conclude it, God put the thought in my mind to go to that place. I thought I was going to get this one, and he guided me to this one. Don't you dare answer this, men. How many of you thought God was going to lead you to one person to marry, and he rerouted you, and you married somebody completely different? Don't you answer that out loud. God is busily taking the initiative in our life. And if you don't understand that, you're going to miss the wonderful truth, because that's who he is. He can be no other way. And just as a shepherd knew where to find food and sustenance for the sheep, here's what the Father knows. He knows what you need. He knows what spouse if you're single. He knows what job if you're without a vocation. He knows, you know, and I was driving down the road just a few days after that, and I just got tickled out loud. And let me explain. Personally, I don't like a car that has the gas tank on the right-hand side. It's just a thing to me. My thought is, what's the use? Why put it on the right-hand side when every time you got to go around, you say, well, now that's no... And as I was driving that car, it just dawned on me. The Lord even put the gas tank on the right side. On the side that I liked, on the left-hand side. Do you understand that the nature of the eternal being of God is always, at all times, to take the initiative in your life? Look back at some things in your life. You think, I wouldn't have had that if God had not taken the initiative. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to go find Charlotte Williams. I didn't know where in the world she would have been. I knew I wanted to get married, but I didn't know who the person was. And God led me right. And here's the point. When you realize that God takes the initiative in your life, there's an amazing sense of calmness and relaxation. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. The children of Israel, they thought they were going to be destroyed. They thought that they were going to be devastated. But they look back and they thought, God took the initiative and he made it his business to bring us out of the land of Egypt. He made it his business to bring us out of the land of Babylon. And you know, he's going to make it his business someday to catch us up and take us home. That simply is who he is. And so, you know, throughout their journey and their bondage, Israel couldn't comprehend, you know, what God was up to. But can I say this? That is a part of the isness of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. Say the first verse with me very slowly and very deliberately. Just verse one. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you hear that verse? Not that he was. Don't say the Lord was my shepherd. The Lord will be my shepherd. The Lord is. Does that mean tonight, Pastor? Yes, it does. If there's something you have need of, yes. Tomorrow, and that's exactly what they have come to understand. And, you know, life may throw 1,000 things at you and me, but that doesn't change the fact of God's shepherding hand. That because he is going to be. That is who he is to your life and my life. And but let me say this. There's no promise of the Lord shepherding the unbeliever. You know that? Now, God is God of all creation. He can do whatever he wants with his creation. He's the sovereign God. But only those his children does he give them the promise of being their shepherd. And you see, the thing about it is sometimes we say, well, if the Lord is shepherd, why do people, it's amazing how many people try the Lord and die prematurely and have this and have all sorts of problems because they are not under the shepherding of God. You see, if you're a child of God, that means he takes the initiative. He takes the initiative to guide you. He takes the initiative to deliver you, to protect you. But as we all grew up, our shepherd in our home, our mom and our dad, they took the initiative to do something else to us that we didn't like. Discipline us. Why'd you do that? Well, because, or you'd be a little bit sassy. Oh, mom, be quiet. Oh, you don't do that. Do you understand? Please hear what Scripture's saying. You cannot be unshepherded. That's an impossibility. You will never be unshepherded. You may not think that you're being shepherded. You may not realize you're being shepherded. You may not comprehend you're being shepherded. But you can never for all of eternity be unshepherded because that's who the Lord is to you and me. Well, let's look at number two, and that's all we're going to have time for. Second of all, the Lord is our provider. Now, since the Lord is shepherd of his people, and he's your shepherd and my shepherd, here's the reality. God proved to be the shepherd of the children of Israel. Now, God doesn't have any limits on anything. The Bible says the earth is his, the cattle on 1,000 hills is his, the silver and the gold, everything in the earth belongs to the Lord, says Scripture. And, you know, it's not hard for God to provide because he's the sovereign. There is no need for God. God don't need anything. He don't need a glass of water. You know, he don't need to take a rest. He don't need to relax. God is a self-existent, eternal one. All power, all energy, all that there is within his being. And so what they come to find out, very statement is, I shall not want. I love the way the Living Bible puts this. The Lord's my shepherd, therefore I have all I want. Now, you hear some people say, well, you know, I don't have everything I want. And that's because they're in the flesh. They want fleshy things. I want stuff. I don't want a relationship with God. And they may not even be saved. But the point is this, you know, God wanted his people to understand he's the provider. Let me ask you a question, and somebody raise your hand on this one. How many of you have an outstanding bill that you've not paid 7 years ago? You've got an electric bill that you've still not paid 7 years ago because you still don't have the money to pay it. You hear what I'm trying to say? We always say about future bills, where am I going to get the money? And then you look back and you think, paid, paid, paid. Well, you know, I had to tighten my belt. But you know what? Tighten your belt's not a bad discipline. And a lot of folks could learn discipline. Even God himself doesn't waste. You remember when Jesus had the 12 loaves and the fishes? And there was a lot left over. Now, here is God the Son. Here's Jesus. He said, don't worry about it, fellas. I'm God the Son. There's plenty to waste. No, he didn't, did he? He said, gather up the fragments. In other words, it's not godly to waste. It's not of God to waste. And that's why we need to be conscious of that as well. But here's the point. Small birds are fed. You know, even the microscopic organisms that you and I can't see are taken care of. So there's no worry. I've never had a bird come up to my door, or I've never had a squirrel, never had a rabbit come to my door and you know, beg for food. I mean, they're all around. They've got all they need. And what the psalmist is saying is provisions taken care of. And here's what happens. Sometimes when you don't realize it, God's going to provide for you in some mysterious and unique ways. Now, just want to ask all of us a question. How many of you, at one time in your life or other, you received money and you had no idea why it came, or somebody just came across your life and they just said, you know, I just feel impressed to give you this. Raise your hand if that's ever happened. Raise your hand. About all of us, many of us. I mean, it's just, you know, or somebody, or you might have been the one that did that to someone else. But what the psalmist is saying is this: I have all I need. Why should you be stressed when your dad runs the universe and it all belongs to him? And because it belongs to him, it belongs to you. You see, I could go over to my dad's right now and I'd say, Dad, need to borrow your truck for a week, be all right? Now, he might say reluctantly, he said, now, you know it's four-wheel drive, and he said, you know how we are, men. He said, well, yeah, if you need it, go ahead. Or if I said, Dad, could I take the tractor over to my house? I need to do a little, you know, a little work out in the lot and maybe a little, you know, do a little bit of stuff with it. And he would. But here's the point. He's my dad. And he would permit that. The Bible says this world belongs to our Father and also belongs to us. You see, we don't ask near enough. We don't, by faith, practice it near enough. You know, we'll ask for some little bitty something because we look at ourselves and we say, well, God, why would you want to do that? But he who asks most and asks most often receives most and receives most often. And so he simply says, he is our provider. The point is this. He'll make it his business to provide for you. Why? That is who he is. There have been times in your life, in my life, we've had lean times. And I remember when Charlotte and I first bought our house and built our house, we went to Wendy's. And as we was eating our Wendy's single, we thought, how in the world are we going to pay for this thing? You know what I'm talking about. And man, we had a big payment, or at least we thought it was. It's nothing compared to some today. But God has shown himself faithful because he takes the initiative. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. He can't stop. He'll never stop. He'll never alter. That's simply who he is. You see, if God is impersonal, that means he's been impersonal for all of eternity because he can't change. But he's not impersonal. He is tremendously personal, and you find it out in your everyday life. You find it out, the children of Israel did, when they praised God, think, God, you brought us out of bondage. Only you could have done it. And that's exactly the way God is. You see, a lot of people don't find the Lord good because they don't taste and see. They don't put him to the acid test. You hear so many people saying, I just wish this would happen, or I hope this would happen. But it's a different thing when you get on your hands and knees and you say, Father, here's what I need in my life. And you ask specifically because he makes it his business to be the shepherd of his children in every way, all the day long. And he'll never stop. Think about this. Tomorrow, he already is your shepherd. He already knows what tomorrow is going to be for your life. He's already there. All of time exists under the presence of God. 6,000 years, You see, we walk through years. God exists in all of eternity. If we could fast forward 1,000 years and be up there, God is already there because time exists under the presence of God. In other words, God don't live on this day and tomorrow. Time exists under His presence. And so He already is. That's why you can pray for your great, 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 great grandchildren. You say, well, what if time don't stand? Well, you leave that to the Lord. Pray for them. I really believe with all of my heart, long before I was ever on the scene, I had grandparents and great-grandparents praying. He's going to be that because He can't stop. That's simply who He is. Thank You, Father, for being our shepherd, for always leading us. And You lead us out in front. You know where the wolves are in life. You know where the disturbing times are. And You guard us. You hover over us. You never leave us. You never abandon us. And that will be the way it will be for all of eternity. And we'll know it better in the next life to come. Father, You're not up in heaven. The Bible says the earth is filled with Your glory. Even in this room is Your presence. Lord, You're even closer than our breath. And for those of us who believe, You live within us. Father, thank You. Thank You that You're a shepherd and You're our provider. You always have been, You are, and You always will be because You cannot change. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.